The holiday season puts a little bit of wind in our sails to get through the rest of this year. How many are looking forward to a new year? All six of you. Amen. Hallelujah. You're just saying, I want to get through this year, right? So we're looking forward to what God has in store for us this coming year. Hopefully, you're jazzed a little bit this time of year. Hopefully, you've been looking forward to this time of year. I know it's a lot of work this time of year, and so we just want you to refocus here today. So I named it Holiday Festivities, so hopefully maybe something encouraging will come out of this here this morning for you to grab a hold on and maybe refocus about what the season's really about. And so I began by looking up the word festive, and I came up with a definition that just kind of was so enlightening that I just sat back and wow in my office. The definition for festive is relating to a festival. Isn't that just mind-blowing? I mean, it just kind of opened up my understanding, and I just quite... And so I took the next word, since festive didn't open up my understanding very much, I looked up festival. And so a festival is a day or a period of celebration, typically a religious commemoration. And so that was kind of enlightening because it has to do with something religious. So this morning, I just want you to understand, and let's replace that word religious here today with the word Christian, okay? So we celebrate Thanksgiving, we celebrate Christmas this season with the idea of commemoration. And so I went on to the next one, and I looked up the word commemoration to make sure I fully understood what that was. And so commemoration means a remembrance, typically expressed in a ceremony, basically a festival. So we made a full circle, okay, here today. So we want to have a holiday of festivities, right? They are religious holidays, basically us commemorating what God has done for us. And so that's what we want to think about here today as we get forward here today. Because it is a festive time of year. Anywhere you go, you hear the Christmas carols playing. People are now greeting you. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday. Great. Have a new year. They're already doing all that. We have the decorations. How many have pulled out their ugly sweaters? All right. It's the ugly sweater time. All right. How many of you are in shopping mode? I know that it starts the day after. My wife was already up at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, ready to go shopping on Black Friday. So I don't know where you were on that. But how many have looked at their calendar lately? There's not really a lot of spaces, empty blanks on your days of this month. And so these are just things that show us this is a festive time of year. So my conclusion from these definitions is that Christmas is a religious commemoration. And that's important for us to realize here this morning. And we have a responsibility, and I believe as believers today, as Christians today, we need to step up and be true festive participants. Not just getting through, just not looking at it and saying, putting our head down and just kind of plowing through it, but actually look at it as a time of celebration, as a time that you're looking forward to and not dreading. It's a time for the festies to out-celebrate the Swifties. Amen? Hallelujah. She might be able to fill stadiums, but how many know that billions of people will be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ this coming year? She may have millions, but Jesus has billions. Amen. So some people get their panties in a wad. How many know that when celebrating Christmas? All right. How many know there are a lot of spiritual Scrooges out there, right? They go on tirades. They attack maybe some of the things that we traditionally celebrate this time of year. They'll say that it's paganistic. That some of the things that we celebrate are symbols that are taken from the world. How many know there are churches that battle over having a Christmas tree in their church, right? If you're one of those, I'm sorry, we won. Amen. So some will defend this and attack it, saying it's paganistic. Some say it's secularized. How many know that? All right. How many have listened to some of the Christmas songs? Have nothing to do with the birth of Christ, do they? Santa will be coming around. We talk about Santa. Some of you have your kids and grandkids on the laps of Santa this year. Jingle bells is playing. Decorations are everywhere, right? People say it's secularized. Some say it's commercialized. All right, that it's all about money. And that might be true to a certain point. If you are an individual that goes into Christmas and gets indebted, then I would say it's commercialized, right? Because that's not the reason for the season. Yes, we want to give gifts. We want to bless people, but we don't want to go in the hole doing it. Amen? Hallelujah. That went over really well, so we'll move on. For some, Christmas is just nostalgic, right? Some of these Christmases of the past that have nothing to do with us. I'm not a fan of a lot of Christmas songs. To me, they're irrelevant. To me, can I say stupid? All right. I don't know if you're dreaming of a white Christmas or not. That's the only time that we want snow. Is that right? Just for the atmosphere, just kind of for to set the tone for the holiday. But how many know that 70 to 90% of the world will never see a white Christmas? And yet we hear these songs over and over again. How many have ever cooked chestnuts over a fire? Is there anybody? All three of you. Amen. Four. All right. Never done it? I don't even want to do it. Amen. How many have ever ridden on a one-horse sleigh? All right. Four. Woo! That's a biggie, huh? Amen. I've driven on a horse-drawn carriage in New York City. That's as close as I've gotten. All right? So they go on tirades, you know, talking about it's paganistic. But as the people of God here this morning, we approach the holiday with a different frame of mind, don't we? We block out all those Grinches, all those Scrooges, and we look forward to the birth of Christ, and we celebrate what he did for us. So I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10, and you're going to, as we read this, you're going to say, what's this have to do with Christmas? It has everything to do with Christmas, because Christmas makes Hebrews chapter 10 come alive. As you're reading this scripture here today, I want you to realize that the book of Hebrews was written and addressed to Jews who were converted to Christianity. But because they were being persecuted, they began to go back into Judaism. And so the book of Hebrews is basically, the author is kind of defending the Christian faith and encouraging them to step up and stay in their faith with God. And so let me just read this here today, Hebrews 10, starting with verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unanswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Father, I just ask that you would just take these words that we've read here today, bring them to life here today, that God, this is a great holiday season, Lord. This is a festivities that will encourage us, festivities, Lord, that refocus us on you. And Lord, I pray that we would truly grasp the reason for the season, that we would not only grasp it, that we would walk in it, and that you would be exalted, Lord, throughout this season, Lord. Lord, we don't want you to get lost in the wrapping paper. We don't want you to get lost in all the celebration that we do. We want you to be the forefront. We want you, Lord, to be lifted up. And you said, if I be lifted up, you would draw all men to you. And so, Father, we begin here this morning by lifting you up. And, Lord, we're putting you back into Christmas, Lord. We want you to be the priority. We want you to be the focus of this season as we share it with others. And we pray in your name. Amen. So I want to paraphrase these verses here and kind of explain where I want to go with this here this morning. We have access to the throne room. We have access to God's promise through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this access was made available because Jesus came in the human form. He came as Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And it's through Christ that the Hebrews were cleansed and purified. Because the work of Christ, the Hebrews were to spur one another on toward love and doing good works. And we're going to talk about that, spur one another on, here in a few minutes. Verse 24 and 25 reminds us how vital it is that we encourage one another by gathering together as we wait for the coming of the Lord. The holidays are times of meeting together to remind us of God's purposes accomplished through Jesus. And so we want to go into this holiday season very festive. We want to be engaged. We want to be lifting up Jesus Christ in the midst of everything that we do. As we look at this, these are not things that we've made up. These are not things that that we just kind of said, hey, let's just have some fun days. We didn't pick them out. But God started things in the Old Testament. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, he told Moses, I want you to celebrate specific feasts. So if you go to Leviticus chapter 23, you'll see that God had set up seven feasts in the Old Testament. And these feasts were to commemorate what God had done for them. And so I found it interesting as I looked up that word feast in there. Because when I think about feast, what do you think about? Joe, what do you think about? All right. So I kind of thought, well, that would be the focus of what this word was. So the emphasis is not on what, the eating here, but on the where and the when and the why. And that was kind of curious. So this word feast means meeting place. It means meeting time. It means an assembly. So I thought that was kind of unique. I thought that was kind of encouraging, that the emphasis wasn't so much on us eating the food, but it was on us gathering together. So I thought that was kind of unique, and it's very fitting for us here this morning as we have come into this house. We have gathered as an assembly. We're meeting together. What? To worship him, to honor him, to have our focus on him. So some biblical translations change the word feast to festivals, okay? And so that's kind of where I'm heading here. I'm using that phrase here this morning. There are seven feasts listed in Leviticus chapter 23. Each commemorates, right, and celebrates God's provision and blessing in the life of Israel. And these festivals were commandments. They were not suggested. These are what God told Moses. He said, I want these things to be observed at this time of the year. And so let me just run through them. The Passover, you've heard of that. The unleavened bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the First Harvest, the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Festival of the Shelters. So these are all listed in that chapter. If you want to go back and look on it on your own, and it kind of defines what each one of those represented and why they were supposed to do it and how long they were supposed to do it. So the festivals emphasize the specific purposes of God. Say that fast, right? These weren't not random things. These were not things God pulled out of his hat, but they were important things that he said, I want you to celebrate. They weren't created, like many of our holidays, to mollify a particular group of people. How many know we have holidays that we've created just to satisfy a certain groups in our culture today? So these festivals entailed different emphasis, different expectations. There was those festivals that wanted you to reflect. We have the Day of Atonement. We have the Day of the Passover. It was a time of self-reflection. It was a time of repentance. It was a time to pray, and it was a time to fast. In fact, in most of these, if not all of them, they were supposed to fast during the day on some of these throughout the day. They could not eat from morning to evening because God commanded them not to. During these festivals, they would bring offerings. During these festivals, they would worship God. It was a time of music, a time of rejoicing, a time of giving thanks to God. It was a time of fellowship. Where Israel was supposed to gather in one place, they were to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, and worship God. And for you people that like to go camping, a lot of these feasts would involve camping. The festival of the shelters, they were supposed to camp for 8 days. But I think every festival that they came to Jerusalem, there was not enough room in Jerusalem, so they had to camp out. Could you imagine traveling 3 days with your family, camping out for 8 days, and then traveling 3 days home? We're not talking about RVs here. We're not talking about bathrooms and showers, all right? Running water, all right? Eating was part of the festivals. Hallelujah. Amen. But most times, I think we overlooked that they were to be celebrated Sabbaths. And so many of these festivals were on a Sabbath, but then they would continue throughout the week. And what did you do on the Sabbath day? You rested. So God commanded specifically, this is what I want you to do. I want you to fast. I want you to pray. But I also want you to what? Rest. I don't want you to work. I want this to be a time of charging your batteries. A time of just kind of regrouping, refocusing, and allowing me to pour back into you. So God deliberately incorporated these various festivals as a way to stimulate the faith and the faithfulness of the people of Israel. It was a time of personal reflection. There were times of recalibration, a time to readjust, to realign, to correct the course that they were on. Most of you have probably been in a plane. Most of you maybe have been on a ship. One of the things that is important is that the pilots of these vessels are on track. They have instruments that tell them how they're traveling and keeps the direction for them. What we understand is if they're off even 1 degree, your destination isn't going to be your destination. You're going to end up somewhere else than what you intended. And so that's kind of what was happening here. These celebrations kind of refocused, and they helped to adjust the course of the Israelites to get back on track, to realize that God was with them, that God was working among them, and that God was faithful to them. And so it was that type of thing. It was to stimulate their faith and their faithfulness in return to God's faithfulness to them. So the good thing is that we celebrate these holidays once a year, because we know that redundancy has a way of stifling our faith. Rituals turn into religion. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and their traditions, their religion, or their rituals, their traditions. He rebuked them in the way they prayed. He rebuked them about their doctrine. And the truth is, if we do the same things the same way, day in, day out, we become disconnected. It just becomes work. It just becomes a heartless action that we perform. We put it on autopilot, where there's no heart in it, we just do it. And sometimes even going through our holiday seasons, we know it's coming. We know what it all entails. Ladies, you know what it entails? A lot of work. How many of you ladies actually rest during the holiday? How many actually come up to you and say, get out of the kitchen, we're going to cook. Get out of the kitchen, we're going to clean the dishes. Oh, I'll be stoned at this end of this one, right? It's supposed to be something we look forward to, not something we dread because of what it entails, but we look forward because of what it really means, and that's celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to guard against a former religion that has lost its power, right? So we need to guard ourselves. We want it to be fresh. We want it to be relevant to our lives. So why do people look forward to Christmas? Why do you look forward to Christmas? Maybe you don't look forward to Christmas. I don't know. Why do many say it is their favorite part of the time of the year? It's because it takes place only one time a year. Amen? We get through and we go, glad that's over, right? So by the next time it comes around, well, we're excited again, right? Because it's not something we do on a regular basis. So the emphasis surrounding Christmas is different from any other holiday. How many know that? There's no other holiday like Christmas, right? It talks about the birth of Christ. And so that's what makes it fresh. That's what makes it new every time it comes around. It meets a specific spiritual criterion that enables us to evaluate our spiritual condition. There are some things about this story that kind of challenge us, that kind of theologically point to things in our life that we need to have aligned with the Word of God. Every year, Christmas is new, it's fresh, and even unpredictable. How many know that? If you want it to be like it was last year, it's not going to be like last year. It's going to be different because we're in different seasons of our life. When we were single, it was different being in our parents' home to when we got married. And then we had kids. That changed the dynamics. And then some of you had grandkids. That changed the dynamics. And so we have individuals coming in, introduced through marriage, through birth, coming into our families. And then we have others exiting through death, possibly, moving away from all those different things happening in our life. So it's unpredictable. So every year has a different dynamic. Every year is different. And every holiday connects us to a different aspect of our lives. So God knows we need these things. And so through the scripture, through these holidays, through these events, through these festivals, we are once again getting realigned to the direction that God has for us as a family, but also as us as individuals. Some of us celebrate most of the holidays, right? We celebrate probably almost every holiday, but Halloween, we turn the lights out, close the shades, and hope no one comes to our door, right? We put booby traps out so we don't have to give out candy to the kids. It's not true, but all right. We have the, how many know what C&E Christians are? Right? Christmas and Easter Christians, all right. Maybe we shouldn't use the word Christian there, right? When they show up twice a year, right? But for some people, how many know that the holidays are actually a lifeline to the reality and assurance of God? I have an individual in my family, the only time she goes to church is on Christmas Eve. And to us, that's a lifeline to her, that she's hearing the truth, that she, once again, she's reminding of what Jesus came to earth and that Jesus died for her. We need to be festies, right? We need to get in. We need to up our game when it comes to celebrating the holidays. So let me focus on verse 24 and 25 again, because this is the focal point of my message here today. I don't have no idea where you're at. We're not back. We're moving forward. I won't say anything about a woman driver, so we'll just move on. All right. Verse 24, verse 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up, meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So this is a verse we often misuse and we kind of abuse and we kind of beat people up with and make them feel guilty because they're not in church, right? And there's some truth to this. Scripture that talks about we should not forsake the assembly of God, our gathering together. That's true. That is something that we should do as believers. But remember who the author of Hebrews is addressing in this scripture here. The Jewish converts were reverting back to Judaism, and they needed their brothers and sisters in Christ to help them stand strong. How many know when we waver in our faith, it's nice for someone to come alongside of us and kind of strengthen us, encourage us, and help us? And so they didn't do church. They didn't do church like this, somebody just speaking at you, talking at you. It was done in small groups. It was done in homes. It was more personal. There was more accountability attached to it. And it was has had a greater emphasis on the discipleship process being in a small group like that. So Paul was encouraging them to strongly address the detrimental issue in one another's lives. And so how many of us in 2025 know that we are responsible for spurring on one another in the faith? And so that word does not necessarily mean encourage. It means encourage, but it's encouraging in a very strong way. It's getting on their case. It's getting in their face. It is challenging them to step up to the plate. And so in 2025, we're more worried about hurting someone's feeling than we are doing our Christian duty and our responsibility. How many of us have the boldness to go to our brother and sister when we see them in decline or whether they're doing something they're not supposed to be and correct them? Takes some guts, doesn't it? And yet, this is what Paul is saying in this scripture, that you, when you're gathered together and, you know, you need to be doing this with one another. We have a scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Should I have you quote it? This is one of our memory verses, all right? All scripture, right, is useful for what? Teaching. What's the next one? Rebuking, correcting, all right, and training in righteousness, all right, so that you may be thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. Think about it. We are to take the word of God. We are to preach into one another's life. We are to teach. We are to rebuke. We are to correct, and we are to train. That's our responsibility. That is our Christian duty. And so as we're going into this holiday, what an opportunity, what an open door for us to speak into the life of those who are not where they should be in Jesus Christ. I mean, there are some in our families that are not saved. They don't want to be saved at this point in their life. That's fine. But we're still responsible for giving them a reason for the season. And for those that have maybe kind of drifted, those who have kind of fallen back, it's time for us to kind of re-encourage them and to re-engage. God thought it was so important that he commanded his people to celebrate festivals together. Festivals reminded Israel of God's goodness and his purposes. Festivals also reminded Israel of their need for one another. Folks, Jesus died for the church. Do not forsake yourselves from assembling together. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. We are called to the body of Christ. Not an arm over here, a leg over there, right? We come together to form the body of Christ. So holidays are beneficial for our spiritual well-being. It's not a season to withdraw. As I said earlier, it's not we put our head down and just plow through it, just get through it and move on. As much as we like to complain about our nation's waywardness, the calendar is still full of Christian holidays. Amen? Opportunities for us to celebrate what God has done in our life through Jesus Christ. So this is my challenge as we kind of wrap up here today. Wow. It's 5 till 12. I didn't know I preached that long. Huh? Let me challenge you. This is the challenge. Squirrel. If you know that movie, all right. Let me challenge you here this morning. Holidays are not meant to be spent alone. If you're alone, let me encourage you here today, find someone to celebrate the holiday with. One of the things, we were always part of smaller churches out in very rural areas, and one of the things that we made sure in our church was that everybody had a place they could go to belong to. And the truth was, we were the outsiders coming into their town. And what we found out is everybody had a place to go but us. And so we know what it's kind of like to be Karen and I celebrating a holiday all by ourselves. And so I just want to encourage you that there are people out there. And I want to tell you, it's not pleasant to celebrate a holiday by yourself. It's kind of lonely. We know the reason for the seasons, but it's still the idea that people make a holiday. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're alone, I encourage you, be bold, step up, invite yourself. Amen? Invite yourself. All right? Or look around you and see who else does not have anybody and invite them. And you be the person of hospitality. But if you're here today and you're part of a family or tribe, as I would call it here, some of you, look around you and see who may not have anyone to celebrate with. Because holidays are important. These are festive times. These are times where we want to celebrate God. And how many know that, as the saying goes, more the merrier? Amen. Right? It's better to celebrate with people. So specific holidays are meant for specific reasons. Enjoy the holiday for the reason it was established. Again, different seasons, different holidays have different meanings. This isn't one really of deep reflection or of repentance. This is more of a time of celebration. It's a time of recognizing that Jesus came. And we are grateful for what he did for us. It is a time of giving offerings. It's a time of worship. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of eating, Joe. But in the midst of it all, I want to encourage you, especially you ladies, you need to find some rest during that holiday. And men, some of you men say, I'll never do dishes. I encourage you, shock them, do the dishes, amen, right? Cook the meal. Tell your wife to sit down and get and relax. That's a dream, isn't it? Is that a fantasy? All right. Sometimes we need to be a Martha and sometimes we need to be a Mary. It's so true. There's a healthy balance in it all. So holidays are best spent when we realize that God's created created festivals for us to engage for our own spiritual growth and enjoyment. So God loves it when his people are enjoying life. How many know God wants you to be happy? God wants you to enjoy life? God wants you to have healthy fellowship with one another? God loves that. He said, as I and the Father are one, we want you to be one. That brings great pleasure to God. So let me just close with the scripture that you're very familiar with. Jesus came to bring abundant life. That word abundant means extraordinary. It means profuse, over and above. It means excessive. God wants you to enjoy life. And life is better enjoyed when we do it with others. It is. So, we're talking about holiday festivities. God knew it was a good thing because he commanded them. He commanded them in the Old Testament. They've carried over to the New Testament as believers today, as Christians today. We have developed our own festivities. And so, let me just encourage you today. The best holiday, the best way to start the holidays is to start with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue to make him the priority. Let him not get lost in the shuffle of all the things that are going on in our lives. Let's keep lifting him up throughout the season. Make him the center. And sometimes that takes a bold stand. Sometimes it takes, say, gathering the family around, praying. Sometimes it says opening the Bible and just remembering why you're gathering. And let's not get lost in all the other stuff. So, Father, we come to you today and we're just... know that, Lord, you care about every aspect of our lives. You never had in your mind that we were to be bored, that we were to just cut ourselves off from having any fun whatsoever, Lord. But Lord, even when the law was very strict, even though the law was very binding, there were times when you said, hey, it's time to let loose. And you created some festivals, some feasts, Lord, for them just to get together and just have a whooping good time. And I pray, Lord, that as believers today, that we will realize that we're created to have a whooping good time. Hallelujah. With one another, Lord. And I pray, Father, that maybe this season we'll make sure that that becomes a priority, that you become a priority, looking around us at other people that maybe are not in our circle and inviting them into our circle. And if there are people that are alone, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step up and say, hey, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to be alone. I want to be part of what God's doing. And so I pray three things here today. Today, let's go into the season with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, many of you heard it over and over again, that Jesus died for you. That Jesus died for our sins, that we may be made right with God. I want you to go into this season having Jesus as not just your Savior, but also your Lord. And I encourage you today, make that commitment. If you're not in that position where you need to be, where you need to be in walking with the Lord, maybe you need to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm getting back to where I need to be. Secondly, if you are in this place and you kind of find yourself alone on the holidays, I encourage you maybe to step up and invite yourself or look around you and begin to see others that maybe are alone this holiday season that you can partner up with and celebrate this holiday season. And some of us here have some pretty big families. And Lord, it's a house full of people. And Lord, sometimes it doesn't look beyond that. And I pray, Father, that we would. Maybe it's a next-door neighbor. Maybe it's somebody, or maybe it's somebody in the church. Maybe it's a coworker. That, Lord, we just open up our eyes and our hearts to realize, Lord, that there are those, Lord, that need to be around us. And so, Father, that's the challenge here for this season as we go into it. That, Lord, that we would be festive. And festive people have festivals. And festivals have commemorations of what God has done for us. We love you, Jesus. And I just pray for each family as they go into this season, Father, that you will be with them, that you will guide them, that you will help them. I pray that there will be cooperation. I pray that there will be teamwork. I pray, Lord, that those that seem to carry the burden all the time, Lord, will have relief, that they will actually have a time of rest, Lord. Because, Lord, that's what the holidays are for, not to get burned out, but to get rejuvenated. And so I pray in your name, Father, that you would allow this holiday season be different in a good way, in a positive way, in a way that we come out and say that was good. God is good. And so, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.